Love you. We still remember, Lord. We still remember. We remember what you did for us. We remember where you brought us from. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you be seated for a moment? It is good to be here today. And didn't the praise team do a great job? Just a great job today. Amen. What an awesome, awesome job they did. And I would like to say I give honor to my friend, Pastor Roberts, and his wife bringing us here today. My wife is here with me today, and I'm very glad of that. Amen. Amen. She is my salvation in a lot of ways. Hallelujah. Mostly from being killed by a lot of folks. Hallelujah. Amen. It is good. I want to tag on to something that he said a few minutes ago, and about this friendship. I'm not sure of this ring deal. I don't know what all y'all discuss around here. So, but I do think it's good if I would share a little story. Could y'all got time for me to share a little story? It's about your pastor. Can I share it now? Okay, all right, good. This either propelled me into that ring or got me out of it. I'm not sure. But several years ago, we were going down the road, and well, I have this knack for pulling pranks on folks and messing with people. I don't think I've ever messed with anybody here. Help me, Jesus. Let me get back over here. Hallelujah. We were going down the road, and I had taken this little rubber snake, and I had laid it on the sun visor on the passenger side. I know I'm feeling it already. Why would you do that? I'm feeling that. Well, it's funny. I got somebody said amen. And so I had forgotten about it, though, was the problem. I put it up there because I knew that he and I would be traveling together. But I put it up there too soon, and I forgot about it. So we were going down the road. I'd picked him up here in Alabaster. We were headed down 65. It was early in the morning. We'd been traveling about an hour, and the sun got to coming up, and he reached and grabbed his sunglasses and put them on. And he reached to grab that sun visor and throwed that thing down. And the snake hit him in the lap. The squeal came out, this holler, this scream, this... You got to remember, I forgot about it. I'm swerving. My God, what's wrong with you? And he's froze over there, just straight out, legs straight, and he's looking down. And he picks up the snake. I'm assuming that secured my spot with friendship, since he didn't, but I was thinking that I may have lost that spot at that point. It was hilarious. I laughed about it for a long time. I won't tell you some of the other conditions we've been in. Climbing trees and holding each other with ropes and all. Well, I won't say that. Our wives are here, and I won't go into all that. But I'm going to tell you, I do appreciate the friendship of Pastor Roberts and his family. And I appreciate this church. Being and allowing me to be here today, I want to bring to you what I feel that the Holy Ghost has. Do we want to allow the Spirit of the Lord to move today, or do we just want to go home and say we've been to church? There's a lot of pressure in the world, and the pressure is coming toward the church. It's putting pressure on the church. And I feel like that the Lord wants me to share something with you today. So hopefully we will do something or say something that will speak to your spirit and speak to your mind. I don't know how you do it around here as far as if you stand in honor to the reading of the word or if you remain seated. You're not going to offend me either way. But Joshua chapter number 2 is where I'm going to be reading from. Joshua chapter number 2. I look forward to this time today, and I mean that, Pastor Roberts, I appreciate it once again, the opportunity to be here with you in service today. I look forward to what I feel like the Lord wants to do in this place. Joshua chapter 2, I want to do just a little bit lengthy reading, so if you'll be patient with me, we will go there and let the Holy Ghost move and let the Holy Ghost speak to our spirits today. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which he had laid in order upon the roof. The men pursued after them the way of Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof and said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites. They were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I would like to share with you, if I could, a few moments simply from this subject matter. Righteousness has a token. Righteousness has a token. Several years ago, I have a token here that I carry with me. It's always in my pocket. It is the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Has a picture of a soldier standing there decked out with the armor. I've wore it down. It's slick. Doesn't hardly have any color on one side anymore. There's not a lot of value in this token, as far as you can't spend it at the store. You can't trade it for very much. Just maybe if somebody else would think that they'd like it, they might give you a little something or trade you something for it. Well, why do you carry it? I carry it in my pocket because I want to be reminded. Several years ago, the men's director of our church on Father's Day passed these out to all of the men in our service that day, and he gave us all one and challenged us that whatever it takes, that we've got to be godly men. And so I purposed that day that I would put this in my pocket and I would carry it with me. This little coin does not make me a holy man or a righteous man. This little coin does not get me in right standing with God. This little coin does not cause me to get on my knees or stand in a corner and repent. This coin is only a reminder. I carry it with me every day to remind me of what I need to be. I remind myself, somebody's depending on this. Somebody's depending on me to be what I need to be. Somebody's depending on me to stay true. Somebody's depending upon me to understand that righteousness has got a token. And while there may not be value to some on righteousness, understand that righteousness does have value. A token simply is nothing more than just a stamped out piece of metal. It could be paper. It could be anything used to symbolize a limited medium of exchange at a nominal value much greater than its commodity value. Let me tell you something. According to Psalms chapter 116 and verse number 5, the Bible said that gracious is the Lord and he is righteous. Understand something today. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place trying to move in here in a solemn way right now. But God is wanting to remind the people today, I am righteous and you need to hold on to me. The world is going to do everything it can to pull me out of you, but separate yourself. Understand, there's some value in being righteous men and righteous women. In an hour where there's not a lot of values in the world, in an hour where the world does not value morals and things the way that it should, I want you to understand there's still a God on a throne, and there's still a church that's following that God, and there's still some people in that church, come on somebody, that loves God with everything inside of them. I want to challenge this church today, somehow understand that righteousness has a token. Being righteous is trying to be like the Lord. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that we're trying to be something special. It doesn't mean that we're trying to outdo somebody else. It doesn't mean that we're trying to be something that we don't have rights to be. But being righteous is just trying to be like God. It's just trying to get it right. It's just getting up more times than you fall down. That's what righteousness is all about. Let me tell you something. If this little token can be a reminder, then their prayer life can be a reminder. Then Bible reading, come on somebody, can be a reminder. Let me tell you, your Bible is not going to repent for you. It's not going to save you, but it'll sure remind you that there's a God of that Bible. Oh, it'll sure remind you that there's a God that is able to do above and abundantly above all that you may ask of you. Let me tell you something. The token can be traded, though. The token can be traded. We used to have it a lot. Tokens for vending machines and things like that. Don't have that a lot anymore. But you used to get tokens for all kinds of things. Go to a car wash or something. You put your dollar in or whatever. They give you tokens and you would spend the tokens. The tokens were just simply traded. They were traded for something else, a good or a service. Let me remind us today, before I get very far into this lesson, understand something, and I'm very aware of the time today, but I've got something heavy on my heart and something heavy on my spirit, that if a token can be traded for something else, then I want you to understand that righteousness can be traded too. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous. Let me tell you something. You didn't come here having it right. You weren't born with everything going right in your life. You've had to work on some things. You've had to make adjustments. You've had to make things and do things and get things right. Let me say something to you to hopefully challenge you right now. That tough times don't last, people. Now, I know probably many of you could finish that and say, yeah, but tough people do. But Pastor Bozeman, I don't feel very tough today. Well, that's why I'm here. You see, I'm here to remind you simply that there's some good in understanding how important holding on to your righteousness is in a world that's trying to pull it out of you. It's important that you understand today that I didn't come here righteous, and the righteousness that I've got so far, I've got to hold on to it. I can't afford. Oh, help me now. Help me. Somebody needs to help me preach a little bit here today. We need to understand something in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. The Word of God said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. Come on, somebody. This is not the hour for you to start trading off your coin. This is not the hour for you. Well, Pastor Bozeman, everybody else is doing it. All these other folks. Well, I'm not preaching to all them other folks that are not here today. I'm preaching to you, and you are hearing what thus saith God's word for you to hear. God is trying to challenge you today to understand these tough times are not going to last. But if they do, I'm preparing you to be tougher than the tough times. And in the end, we're going to make it out of here. Because of righteousness. Don't you trade in your token of righteousness for a few trials. Don't you trade in your token of righteousness and holiness and separation for a few tribulations that are coming your way. Don't you do it. Psalm 119 verse 71 said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Come on, somebody, understand something today. Well, Bozeman, I don't really feel like it's good for me to go through problems. I'm just kind of getting tired of going through problems. Well, let me tell you something. Be confident in this one thing. God's word does not lie. And he said, I will not put more on you. Come on, somebody, than you can able to bear. You can stand. I understand today, and you need to understand. Don't trade in that token. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 said, let us not be weary in well doing. That's not where it stopped, though. It said, for in due season, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That means if you don't trade in your token, let me get to my story. Some of you are concerned. I see it right now. You're just very concerned that I read a text and I just forgot all about it. We pick up a story here of some men that were being commissioned and sent out by their boss, so to speak. And he sent them to go and to spy out the land. And he said to them, listen, guys, I want you to go and I want you to check it out. I want you to make some notes and I want you to come back and I want you to make sure that you have some details for me. Make sure there's some things that's going to happen here. Now, let me stop you for a second. Trials and tests are going to happen in your life. Just look at your neighbor and say, uh-huh. It you know what trials and tests do? They locate a person. They determine where you are spiritually. They reveal the true condition of your heart. How you react under pressure is how the real you reacts. There's an old hymnal. I probably need the praise team to come rushing up here right quick, because I'll murder the song if I try to sing it. But there's an old hymnal that said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Don't trade your token. Your token of separation. Somebody today is toying with these ideas, and somebody today is toying with some things in your mind. Some of you today, you've got some stuff in the scales, and you're wondering, is it okay? Is this gonna cause me to miss out with God? And so we're pondering these thoughts. Why don't you try trading the other way? We always talk about trading separation for wellness. Why don't we trade our worldliness for separation? Well, why don't we trade the other way? Why don't we trade our ungodliness for godliness? Why don't we trade our unrighteousness for righteousness? Come on, somebody. I've never had somebody come into my office and said, Pastor, you know what? I'm just decided that I'm going to quit being a heathen, and I've just decided I'm going to quit being a tyrant, and you won't have to counsel me anymore, Pastor, because you know what? I'm going to try to be holy, and I'm going to try to live right, and I'm going to try to do right. You know what happens when those folks show up and start developing that kind of attitude? I never have to deal with them again. You know why? Because God's got this thing going on that when you get closer to Him, He leads you, He guides you, He directs your path. First John 2:15 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Pastor Bowman, well, I don't understand why you're preaching this today, because somebody's on the fence. Somebody's toying with some stuff in your mind. There's some stuff that's happening in your spirit right now. There's some stuff that's going on in your life. No. We may not be seeing it right now, but there's a turbulence going on in the air. There's a turbulence going on. You know, there are people in the world right now that are worried more about an eclipse tomorrow than they are worried about God. Hello? We got some issues, folks, in this world today. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs 18, it said, there is a friend that, what? There you go. Somebody finished it. Sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I'm that kind of person that I have to understand. I just got an analytical brain, and I just have to understand. And so that didn't make sense to me. It has not made sense until one day I was taking that to the Lord in prayer, and I was asking Him, Lord, that doesn't make sense. How can a friend get closer than a brother? A brother is blood. That doesn't make sense. You got to help me. You see, this my going to the Lord is not trying to question Him and question His word. I just wanted to know how it made sense to me. God, how does this work? How can a friend become closer than a brother? We're talking about blood kin here, Lord, in case you don't know what this brother part is. It's a brother. What are we talking about here? How can that be? And the Lord just slapped me upside the head and said, move over and I'll drive this thing. Yes, sir. See, just by the time we think we get it all figured out, He'll show up. And so then He just spoke to my spirit and He said, well, it's real simple, boy. A friend is a choice. A brother is not. What? What does that mean? Well, here's the thing. When I pursue a relationship with God, and it becomes that intimate friend relationship, I can go places in God that me and a brother can't go. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a token. I'm talking about understanding the value of having something inside of you. If you're going to separate yourself and be what God has called you to be and to be what God is wanting to develop you into, you need to understand there's some intimacy with God that God can take you places. Oh, let me tell you, the world can't touch this. The world can't touch the places that you can go in Him. I want you to know they'll paint you a pretty picture. They'll paint you a beautiful show, but it's all a facade. Oh, understand it today, how important it is. See, the trend of the world is simply to fall in love and fall out of love and just start all over again. But let me remind you that love is a decision. Can I say this to you today, and hopefully it'll have an impact with somebody, and it'll sting your spirit, and you'll remember it. Don't fall in love with the world that you're in or you're from. Fall in love with the world that you're going to. Hello? Understand something today. Realize. Let me get back to my story. That clock is steadily ticking back there. I got to go. Joshua chapter 2. Beautiful story unfolding. Rahab was willing to lie and take a chance with her life for the token. Now listen, righteousness has a distinctive way. The Bible didn't say that they went up to her, tapped on the door, and said, hey, we're sent here by Joshua, we're Israelites, and we're spying out the land. They didn't go up and identify themselves, by all account. Hello? By all account, what we understand and what we know is that this lady invited them in, recognizing them. Understanding that, you know what? That's those Israelites. And we have heard, now by reading the scripture here in chapter 2, following the story, we discover that she knew her time was limited. It's just a matter of time and they coming. It's just a matter of time. Those Israelites are coming. They're going to come over here and they're going to do to us what they did to Og, them. They're going to do what they did to them other cities over there. They're going to do that over here. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be a part. Oh, my Lord, there's some of them Israelites now. Come here, you fellas. You can stay in my house. Come on, get in my house. Now, why in the world? I feel the Holy Ghost here. Why in the world would these men be going into this house? I'm not going to preach on the subject here, but you understand the connotation and the nature of the reputation was on the line. Let me say something to you right now. Anything that you do in God, for God, and through God, no matter how questionable it may seem to you, I promise you, God will get you to it and through it. Well, wait a minute now, God. I don't know if I can trust you to get me. God, I don't know if I... No, I'm telling you right now. I have planted this thing here, and I planned this thing. This is going to be something that you're fixing to be part of that's bigger than you, boy. Just go on in the house. It's going to be taken care of. It will be... See, there's something brewing here in Rahab's spirit. There's something brewing in her heart. There's something that said, listen, them boys has got something. They got a God somewhere back over there. I don't know where he's at. I don't know how to find him. I don't know how to get to him. But I know one thing. If I can hang out with his people, if I can hang out with some folks that know where he is, maybe they can share with me. Let me stop for a second here, and hopefully he'll take care of me. I promise you, I'm not going to do anything, hopefully, to hurt him. But if I'm wrong, he'll skin my hide next week. I promise you. Understand something here. One of the first tragedies of church people is we get worried about the situation that God is sending us into. Pastor, I don't know if God can get me out of this. Didn't he deliver your hide last week? Yeah, but Pastor, that's in the past. It's barely 24 hours old. But it's in the past, Pastor. I'm dealing with now. These spies get into this house, and this lady understands the value of what's going on. And so we read the story, and the story begins to share, and they begin to share with us. And in verse number 12, she begins to plead with them. She said, I pray you, I beg of you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Listen, I understand that you're not going to be able to right now. You're not going to be able to do anything other than give me a token. But if you fellas will give me a token right now, I know that everything is going to be all right. I know that when righteous people start handing out tokens, let me tell you something about the world. The world wants your token for one reason or the other. The first reason they either want your token is so they can have what you have without paying the price that you paid. Come on, somebody. Understand that. But then there's another group that wants your token simply because they don't know how to find it. They don't know where to get it. They have not been led to this truth. They don't know what it's like to have the power and the presence of God Almighty in their spirit. They don't know what it feels like to get lost under the auspices and the direction of the power of the Holy Ghost. And so they're saying, please give me a token. Just give me a token. Give me the token. If you'll give me a token, I promise you I'll redeem it in the future. I will hold on to it. It'll be precious. Let me back up for just a second here. A couple of things I need to point out. In verse 6, she made the statement. She said, she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stacks of flax, and she laid them in order, which she had laid. Let me tell you something. There's only so much order that the world can get without God. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but true godly apostolic people are, I believe, the only thing that's holding the clouds from splitting wide open. Your prayers. God, don't let my grandma die lost. God, don't let my young'uns die lost. God, don't let my husband die lost. God, don't let my kids die lost. Those kind of prayers are still tugging at God. Come on, somebody. And he's saying, you know what, angels, hold up. Let's just wait a little more longer. Let's just wait a little while longer. Wait a little while longer. Because, see, there's only so much order the world can get. The world needs God, people. Rahab knew her time was limited. She knew it was about to be up. Here's the thing. In verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, right along in that reading right through there, they said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. Here's the token. Here it is. Y'all ready? Here's the token, lady. The token is simply this. Our life for yours. In other words, we guarantee it. This token is going to be good. Here's the token. You got to get the line out the window. And then you got to get everybody behind the line. Let that sink in for just a second. You got to get the line out the window so that we can know what it's all about in there. Then, lady, it's going to be your responsibility to get everybody you want saved. behind the line. Don't tell me that righteousness doesn't have responsibility. Don't tell me. Let me tell you something, honey. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody, stay with me. Will you go with me? Just for a couple more minutes. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Come on, somebody. You need to, then what's going to happen? Here's the token. If you will seek God first and his righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. Let me tell you something, honey. I can prove to you over and over through the word of God that there is a line of righteousness. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to put a line and you're going to have to step back and live behind the line. It's easy in this hour to question where we are. All kinds of things looking that we're dealing with today. I'll tell you something, our children are dealing with stuff that we never had to deal with. Hello? Folks, I'm very serious. There are spirits out there and things that our children are dealing with that we didn't have to deal with. Don't give up your token. Don't give it up. See, understand, righteousness is the line that keeps us separated from the world. Righteousness must always, watch this, be the influencer. Too many people are allowing the world to influence righteousness. And it's got to be the other way around. The spies didn't look at this lady and say, lady, you know what? You're a nice lady. You've let us come in your house. We appreciate that. And so because of that, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go around this city. We're not going to take it. We're just going to leave y'all alone. We're not going to do it. No, that ain't what he said. What the spies told her was that, lady, we are coming. It's just in a few days that we are going to march through this town, and we're going to destroy it, and we're going to take what belongs to us. But let me tell you something. Here's your token. If you'll draw the line, if you put the scarlet thread out the window and you will let the line be there, and then if you get everybody in the house, lady, I want to tell you something though. If whoever goes out in the street, whoever goes out beyond the line, it's their blood is on their hands. It is no longer our responsibility. Just want you to remember something, that the line, lady, is important. We're going to make it in this hour, folks. We're going to have to draw a line. There's just some things that you're going to have to figure out. I'm going to die on this hill, and I'm going to be with you. There are some things ain't worth dying over. Hello? See, there's only so much that we can do. One of the things that jumps out so vividly to me in this lesson is that he attached the blood. He used the word blood in verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head. I don't know how you guys close here, but just for a second, could maybe musicians, you can come, and whatever you normally do. But just for a second, can I ask you to close your eyes? If you feel a little more comfortable, bow your head to do it, whatever, that's fine. But I wonder just for a minute if you could ponder what I just touched on. I am very much aware the Bible teaches us to work out our own salvation. I understand those things, and they're so vital. But I preach to you today. The eyes, the Bible said in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. 2 Thessalonians tells us the Lord is faithful and righteous and keep you from evil. This lady said, listen, my unrighteousness got me here. But I'm convinced that if you guys will give me a token, your God, the righteous God, will get me out of here. I'm just convinced. James chapter 2, verse 25. Now, are you still thinking? You still let this ponder and soak in for a second? In the book of James chapter 2, the writer there mentions Rahab by name and said, didn't she? Wasn't it her works? Wasn't it by her works? I got a token in my pocket to remind me why I don't cheat on my wife. Oh, you mean that little old coin No. I make that decision. This little coin, though, reminds me of why I don't lie and I don't steal and why I try to have... See, it's just a little token. But it's my token. It means something to me. And while it doesn't mean, maybe doesn't mean very much to you, you wasn't there in the service where I committed to it. You wasn't there in the service where I, with tears running down my face, said, God, all the days of my life, I'm going to remind myself with this token. It's got skint marks on it. I've used it for a hammer, pecking on stuff when I didn't have one. I've used it for a marker, scratching on stuff when I didn't have one. I've abused this token. I really have. If you want to see it after service, ask me about it. I'll show it to you. Be glad to. What I'm saying to you tonight, folks, is righteousness is not always pretty. Righteousness is not always easy. Separation. The world don't want you to have it. They don't want it, but they don't want you to have it. But there's a Rahab that is saying, if I can just get it, it's going to change my destiny. It's going to change my course. I'm challenging somebody right now with their eyes closed and their head bowed. I'm challenging somebody right now. What about this moment? Maybe you can do it right where you are in that pew. Maybe you can, maybe you want to just run up here and recommit openly. I don't care. It doesn't matter. These altars are open. I'm assuming this is open today. It's okay. But I just feel a wooing of the Holy Ghost today trying to take us into another place. Righteousness has got a token. What are you about to trade it for? I want to cash this in one day. Oh, it's just a little token in my pocket right now. It's just a little token in my pocket right now. But one day, I want it to be a crown on my head. One day, I want it to be a crown that I can throw at the feet of Jesus and say, I made it. It was hard. It was not easy. But I got me a token, and I held on to it. I didn't trade it for anything. I didn't sell it. I abused it a lot. I didn't ever get rid of it. I'm going to open up these altars right now. Would you consider really?